Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Shalom, brothers and sisters, and to those tuning in online. Yeah, this is my third chairman's address this year, and we continue on the series on Ezekiel. But first, let me just make this announcement for the coming congregational meeting. Can I have the next? Well, as you have heard, two Sundays from now, we will hold our congregational meeting. At this this year leaders' retreat, the Holy Spirit convicts us to go forth and bear fruits. And we all felt that our ministries, ministry leaders, and the church, we are ready for the Holy Spirit to work in us and to bring about accelerated fruitfulness in all our key ministries. So we will share with you the many exciting growth activities planned for the coming year. And I'm calling upon you, members and friends of this church, to make an intentional effort to be there on the 13th of November. Our sermon series on Ezekiel continues after a break last Sunday. Up to now, we had 5 out of 9 sermons, including a seminar by Dr. Anthony Loke. Today is on chapters 33 and 34, two long chapters which takes 11 minutes to read, so we don't do that. However, I hope at least the CG members have read them beforehand. So a show of hands, please, if you have read Ezekiel 33 and 34. Quite a number, thank you. Ezekiel is a hard book to read. It is harder to preach. And teachers of the Bible have to declare the whole counsel of God, to speak of the glorious parts and the hard parts, the promises and the warnings, the blessings and the curses, all the parts that make us smile and all the parts that make us wince. If you can recall Ezekiel, 48 chapters, they fall into two parts. 32 chapters of warnings of God's judgment against Jerusalem and Judah and the surrounding foreign nations. And starting today, 16 chapters of promises of hope and salvation. And we read that the judgment against the Jewish people, God's people, was because of their wickedness and their idolatry. And the judgment against the foreign surrounding nations, 7 of them, were also because they mocked God. And they say that God was weak to defend his people. I think the lesson for us today is that those who dare to mock God today will face a terrible fate. The 32 chapters so far are doom and gloom, harsh warnings of judgment and wrath from God against sin's ugliness, rebellion, idolatry. Of course, warning God's people is never an easy job. Must thank the ladies, they look at very small details here. Warning God's people is never an easy job, is it? And our in-house speakers did not mince their words. Don't you agree? So well done. I hear a senior member say, oh, our young pastors and elders, they can really preach hard messages. Now we come to chapter 13, a pivotal chapter for the next 16 chapters of prophetic messages of comfort, of hope, and future restoration of God's people. Warnings and promises. And we must pay attention to both aspects of Ezekiel's message. Those who persist in disobedience, be warned. Those faithful, be encouraged and remain in hope. For more than 7 years, Ezekiel had prophesied Jerusalem would fall and the people taken captives and deported to Babylon as slaves to their cruel pagan masters. Chapter 33 is pivotal in that Jerusalem fell. And in verse 21, a man who had escaped came to Ezekiel and said, the city has fallen. In 33, we see the recommissioning of Ezekiel as a spiritual watchman. His role as watchman and the restoration of the people of God. And in 34, using the metaphor of shepherd and sheep, God indicted Israel's people, Israel leaders, for fattening themselves and for failing to care for her people. And God promised to save the sheep, and he would send the ultimate shepherd, a second David, a prince, the Messiah, who would feed and care for his people under God's kingship. Well, today, I want to focus on the watchman. And several questions to answer. What is a watchman in biblical times? What were their roles? Were there spiritual watchmen in the New Testament? Who are the spiritual watchmen today? And the question, are all believers watchmen? Then I want to look into some application for us by looking at four warning signs for this church. Then a conclusion and a challenge in that order. So what is a watchman during biblical times? The role of the watchman in biblical Israel was quite clear. The Hebrew word translated means one who looks out, one who spies, or one who watches. And he was stationed on high walls or on watchtowers. And he stayed alert and he watched. And at the sign of danger, he would blow his trumpet and warn people of impending enemy attack. There are many references to watchmen who kept an eye out for physical threats in the Bible. In 2 Kings chapter 9, 17, the watchman was standing on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came. In Isaiah 62, verse 6, God says, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will never be silent day and night. And in the New Testament, we read that watchmen guarded vineyards and fields during harvest time in the parable of the talents of Jesus. What if the watchman failed in his job? Cities would be overrun by enemies. People would die. Crops would be stolen. So a watchman's job is a very responsible one. And the watchman carried with him the safety of the entire city. And the city would sleep at night knowing that the watchman was alert in his job. Consider two modern day events. Boxing Day 2004. What happened? Can anyone tell me? On the morning of that day, a 9.1 magnitude earthquake struck in the Indian Ocean, and it triggered a series of massive tsunami waves up to 30 meters or 100 foot high, and it devastated communities along the surrounding coast of the Indian Ocean. Hardest hit was Aceh in Indonesia, and this ship was found several kilometers inland. Almost a quarter of a million were killed, and 1 million people left homeless in 14 countries. There was no warning. No one was prepared. Had there been warning, many lives would be saved. Consider this warning of a global economic recession. How many of you here think that a recession is coming? Quite a number. How many of you plan to prepare for this economic downturn? Quite a few. Very good. There are days of plenty and there are days of famine. Winter is coming. And we pray that we may learn like the ants in Proverbs 6. All summer, it stores up food. At harvest, it stockpiles provisions. And like the ants, we work hard to prepare for what is coming. Perhaps a lifestyle change. Perhaps to pay down more debt. Perhaps consider cheaper holidays. Save more because we can share more. And if some young working adults here are contemplating joining the great vaccination movement, perhaps think again. And our church should be prepared so that we can help more and share more. If watchmen warn of physical threats, there were also spiritual watchmen to watch and warn the people of danger in their spiritual lives. Spiritual watchmen in the Old Testament were appointed by God. Their role were to communicate God's word of warning to his people, and God appointed them to watch over the souls of his people. Ezekiel 33, verse 17, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you heard a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. Ezekiel was appointed right at the beginning in chapter 3. I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you heard a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. He was both a prophet and a watchman. Is there a difference? Well, according to Dr. Anthony Loke, a prophet tells people what God wants him to say, but then he may go away and not stay with the people. But the watchman stayed with the people. They were God's mouthpiece, called to warn wicked people of the judgment and destruction that would come their way unless they turn from their evil ways. They were to urge them to live faithfully. And Israel's spiritual watchman bore a heavy responsibility. If he failed to warn others, as God has appointed him to do, he would be held accountable for the people's sin. Verse 8, if God say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. This is God saying, not me. Obedience is the only course of action for a true watchman. If you do not warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be safe. Ezekiel 33, verse 9. Well, that was the Old Testament. So we ask, are there spiritual watchmen in the New Testament and today? So if the role of the spiritual watchman is to watch over the souls of God's people and to warn them of dangers, then this role continues in the New Testament in the form of church leaders. In the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, it lists down several practical exhortations for Christians concerning relationship with others, with fellow believers, with outsiders, relationship in a marriage, and relationship with spiritual leaders. And with regards to relationship with spiritual leaders, verse 17 tells us, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Why? Because their work is to watch over your souls. And they are accountable to God. So give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. So your leaders' work in PJEFC is to watch over your souls. And we are accountable to God. Then we ask, are all believers in Christ watchmen? I think in a general sense, all believers are watchmen. Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray so that they will not fall into temptation. And Jesus teaches us to be ready, waiting for his return. In Luke 12:35-40, he say, stay dressed for action and keep the lamps burning and be like men and women who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And Paul reminds us again in 1 Thessalonians 5, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake, let us watch and be sober. So our Lord expects us all to be watchmen, remaining alert, and if need be, through the long watches of the night until he comes. So as leaders, whether as elders, pastors, CG leaders, ministry head, Sunday school teachers, leaders of your household, leaders at workplaces, and believers in Christ, let us take our post on the watchtower responsibly and keep watch. Warn and protect your sheep, your families, your children. And as families, guard ourselves. Persevere in our faith. Let us not sleep as the others do, but let us watch and be sober. Know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Watch therefore and pray always. I want now to turn to application and challenge. As church leaders and spiritual watchmen, our responsibility to God is to watch over the souls of our members in the church. So I blow the trumpet. I blow them to get your attention to at least four warnings arising from our recent survey. Warning number one is the creeping nominalism of our next generation. In the survey to the question, I spend at least 20 minutes a day for personal devotion. The majority of those ages from 12 to 24 replied, never, rarely, or sometimes. This is a red flag. Nominalism of our next generation is a serious concern. In the book of Judges, we read that the generation after Joshua, they provoked the Lord to anger. Why? Because they abandoned the Lord and they went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them. The upbringing of our children's spiritual life is clearly the responsibility of Christian parents. The church may help, and help we will, but this duty cannot be delegated. Parents are the watchmen in your home. Ask ourselves, what are these other gods around our children competing for their devotions? So many you can name. Be warned. The following question may be one reason why personal devotion is missing in our children. To the question, members of my household discuss faith-related matters and pray together during the week. More than 60% says never, rarely, or sometimes. This low score actually surprised me and is quite telling. But let me share with you one story which may encourage you to intentionally share your faith stories with your children. One time, when my three children were teenagers, we had dinner with some of my friends from university days. And you know those dinner talks with old college friends, full of stories. And we traded stories after stories of spiritual experiences of our days. And my children listened quietly. Afterwards, they asked, Dad, how come we don't know these things about you? And my dear wife was quick to chip in. Because you don't talk to your children about them. I thank God for my wife. And I learned a valuable lesson that day. Our children wants to know our stories of our walk with God, whether they are painful ones or pleasant stories. It shows them our faith is real. So I started writing down my faith stories and I shared it with them. And when my children were in college and away from home, I emailed them my daily devotions. For example, one proverb a day. I still keep a copy of these emails. That was 2010, 22 years ago. One day, Rachel, my daughter, said, "Dad, have you thought about publishing them?" Well, maybe. Parents, grandparents, we will do well to remember the commandment of God in Deuteronomy 6. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Our children is watching us, learning from us. Even the very act you make to come to the physical Sunday service tells our children of the reality of our faith in Christ. Warning number two, the acute disproportionate lack of representation of young adults versus our seniors will restrict growth. More than 57% of our English congregation are 60 years and above. And this just compares to 11% of our population. So today we are not yet a family church, but more of a senior church. And over the next 10 years, we need to intentionally grow our young adult population by another 20 percentage point. And that's the job I give to the new chairman and to the senior pastor. Yeah. So that the seniors will be less than 37%, which is still a high number, but a manageable one. And praise God, we are seeing more visitors since the MCO. At the last count, more than 100 visitors came. Over 40 decided to worship with us. And yesterday, we held a welcome tea session, and 30 of them turned up. This is a great start, but we journey on. Warning number three, the certain future shift to care for the majority advanced aging seniors will exhaust our current resources and is unsustainable. So we have to do something to prepare for it. So this is our age profile by years of our seniors. The average lifespan in Malaysia is 76 years. And even if I increase it to 80 years, there will be over 100 of us here in 10 years. That's a lot of funeral services to come, huh? And I, for one, intend to have my funeral service here in PJEFC. Why? Because many of my non-Christian friends won't step in the church, but they will attend my funeral service. It will be my final testimony to them. And as Christians, we should not fear growing old, because growing old is part of God's will. And we know that God's will is always good for us. From this chart, there are 69 seniors who are not in any CG. And I really want to encourage you to be part of this small community whom we know will care for one another. Now, there may be reasons why you are not in one, but they may not be good enough reasons. So today, I appeal to you, take a step, make a choice to be in one. Before you're so old, you cannot no longer contribute. So trust God, take care of your health, remain active, serve as long as you can, be like Caleb, who at 85 years old told Moses, "Give me this mountain." And I know there are many Calebs in our midst. Imitate them. Auntie Lai Siong is one. Uncle George, our advisor, is another. You know, when the border reopened recently, in August this year, George and I, we were in Nias Island. Who knows where Nias Island is? Some of you. It's an island west of Sumatra. Quite a backward place and not easy to reach. We flew to Medan. Then our flight to Nias got cancelled and we had to stay a night there. And the plane to Nias was a small plane. And the hotels there, they are quite basic. And my brother George is already in his early 70s. And he was really cheerful throughout. And I was so encouraged by him. During the MCO, George received a cry for help from them. They were not able to pay the staff salaries. So we helped them. We wanted to see their work. So we went. And what we saw was quite amazing. And we were very encouraged by the founder, Reverend Ria, who was previously an OMF missionary to the primitive Manobo tribe in the Philippines for 17 years. After that, he returned to Nias and started this ministry. And from this group of children, she has a vision to send out 200 missionaries in 20 years for global reach. And is already preparing them for God to call. I was just jokingly talking to George. I said, if our Sunday school mission statement were, "Our children will be missionary," I wonder whether the number would drop or go up. And not because the children doesn't want to be a missionary, because the parents wouldn't send them. And here we are, we see 200 children singing in English. It is Indonesia, but they are singing in English. They are conversing in English because the founder are preparing them to be global missionaries. Well, Reverend Ria will visit us coming February, and we hope to hear from her. My last warning number 4. For the unbeliever in our midst and those who live in disobedience, I urge you to take God's warning of judgment seriously. Chapter 33, verse 11. "Say to them, 'As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.'" but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die? You know, in my younger days, we like to tell annoying people, you go to hell, you go to hell. You seniors remember that? Yeah. Life was very colorful then, isn't it? We may laugh, but God is serious about hell. And the wrath of God will come to those whose sins are not yet forgiven by God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if Christ is not your Savior and Lord, I pray that you will take God's warnings seriously. Take the step to attend our Alpha course to know more, or speak to any one of our pastors. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 33, those who have read it, there is another group of people there whom God wants to warn. Verses 30 to 32. Let us go and hear the latest news from God. This group of people, they like Ezekiel, you know. Let us go and listen to him. So they show up, as people tend to do. They sit in Ezekiel's company. They listen to him speak. But they don't do a thing you say. They flatter you with compliments. But all they care about is making money and getting ahead. To them, you are merely entertainment. A singer of sad love songs, playing the guitar. They love to hear you talk, but nothing comes out of it. You know, some people come to church. They enjoy the music. They find sermons entertainment. You know, I'm a good entertainer. But they have no intention of obeying it. Because their hearts, they are not after God, but they are after other things. Material wealth, getting ahead, and some even continue after the sermon, continue to live immoral lives. My wife and I and family, we were in a church in America one day. It was a, 1,000 evangelical, solid Bible teaching church. And the speaker came up and he said something like this. If I were to ask all of you who are either in premarital sex or having adultery, half of you will be walking out of this hall. I was shocked. I said, what kind of church am I going to, you know? I wonder how many would walk out from this church. You know, in Hokkien, we would say, Kalu kong liao, lu mai tia, lu mai chai si. Be warned. I may not know, but God knows your hearts. So let me conclude. Later, I will ask the Ascent team to come and sing the closing song, which is, Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made the choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go. You know, I want to touch a little bit on Ezekiel chapter 34. In 34, God talks about shepherds and sheep. Those who have read it will know. And the human shepherds there, they don't take care of the sheep. They fatten themselves at the expense of the sheep. You know, we are all by God's design. We will always be sheep. And sheep has a habit of getting lost. And therefore, sheep always need a shepherd. But a good shepherd, one who cares and look after them. And God would send the good shepherd. So in 34, chapter 34, verse 23 and 24, we read, God saying, I will appoint one shepherd over them all, my servant David. He will feed them. He will be their shepherd. And I, God, will be their God. My servant David will be their prince. He's referring to the Messiah, our Lord Jesus. Our God hath spoken. And in John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own knows me. And just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. So Jesus is our great shepherd who loved us so much that he died for us. We can trust him. We can trust his promises. Make this choice to follow him wholeheartedly. He promised your life will turn around. I suppose at the end of the day, we ask ourselves, do I believe in divine judgment? Do I believe in God who acts as my judge? Do I believe in the wrath of God? And God says, as I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turns from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die?
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.